Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. We'll get to On the Come here at 8:30. But before we do that, it's a big anniversary today of a
huge anniversary.
Huge.
That's OJ, man, and he looks scared.
Yeah, back in 1994, baby, the anniversary of the OJ chase.
We have on the phone with us as well Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
How are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite the tensest.
What can you see?
Oh, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van, and I see OJ kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, looking here, he look very upset. I don't know what he going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
He is just sitting around, you know, just looking like he'd be very nervous.
Can you hear anything, Mr. Higgins?
It's just too much commotion. I'd be in the back of a news van, so I can't really hear that good, but I can see it all. And I see OJ. I see OJ, man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And baba booey to y'all.
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call. Lest anybody think that was somebody who was truly across the street. That was not. He said something in code at the end that's indicative of the mentioning of the name of a certain radio talk show host.
Okay, thanks, Al.
So he was not there.
All right, we have them on every coast. Thank you very much. Not the first time nor the last time we'll have been had.
It's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, prank call ever. And Al Michaels is like, all right here, man. It's a farcical call. Al Michaels has said over the years, this is the man who said, do we believe in miracles? Yes. He goes, I am more well-known for that moment right there than I am for maybe the greatest sporting event in the history of the United States of America. And that's beating the Russians in hockey and him saying, do you believe in miracles? Yes! And doing something so unfathomable. He says, more people walk up to him and go, that was a totally farcical call.
I see OJ, man, and he looks scared.
And I know, Mac, you were not alive, obviously, for the OJ chase. Dusty, yeah. Were you alive then, 1994? Yeah, I guess you were for that. That was the junior summer of high school, getting ready to go to my senior year, and it was the last time the Knicks were good. So, I mean, it really was.
Seriously.
I mean, it was the last time the Knicks were good. And I tell, you know, the story every year is like you're sitting down getting ready to watch the Knicks and Rockets in the, you know, in the NBA Finals, and really the last time I was truly into the NBA. And then all of a sudden, here comes the OJ chase. And all of a sudden, the finals didn't matter. The NBA just did not matter. And everybody was glued to their TV.
Yeah.
It is the greatest night in the history of television that the United States had ever had. And obviously, long before social media, so nobody, you know, we weren't tweeting about it or anything like that. But everybody knew what was going on because people were lining the bridges and lining the freeways with signs cheering OJ on and rooting for OJ. And that thing went on and on and on and on. And it was one of the most fascinating things to see on television, and everybody was glued to it. Pizza Hut will still tell you it is their busiest night of all time. And because nobody was going anywhere, was leaving the couch because they all wanted to see how this thing was going to end up. I mean, there was a good chance it ended up at OJ killing himself, somebody shooting OJ. Like, you didn't know what was going to happen at that point in time. You got Al Cowlings on the phone, and it became the most important cultural moment of that generation. And watching that chase and seeing the way that everybody was cheering OJ Simpson on, it really reminded you of how good he was. I was watching a rerun of Three's Company the other day. I just happened to catch, and they were making something, and the guy said, this is back in like the early 80s, late 70s, and the guy said, this is the OJ Simpson of desserts. And I'm like, boy, how that has changed. And then, you know, the Naked Gun 2 trailer comes out yesterday, and it's like OJ's kid looking at this picture, and pops, you know. Kind of making fun of the fact that he was OJ's son and whatnot. But, you know, glued to the TV, glued to everything that went on during that. And like I said, that was the last time the New York Knicks were good. So having them back this year was fun. It's been 30 years since the Knicks were anything special. But that OJ chase will always be the greatest and most, like, important television moment of my generation, of my lifetime, because nothing captivated anybody more than what was going on with OJ. And then it led to a year-long-plus trial that everybody watched every damn day of the week, too, you know?
Yeah, I was getting ready to turn 7. See, I was born 87, so 3 plus 4, yeah, 94. So, yeah, I was turning 7 that summer, so August, it would have still been, like, pretty fluent throughout the TV. And I remember my grandparents lived across the street from us, and every day that my parents got home from work, we walked across the street and went to the living room, sat down, watched the OJ trial, the everything. I mean, I remember when the race happened, we went over there and we watched it, the chase. So, yeah, I mean, I do remember it. I don't remember it very as, like, vivid as you do, obviously.
Yeah, I was 17, you were 7. It's a big age difference of memories, yeah.
So, but that's what I remember the most is as soon as my mom got home from the hospital, she was a nurse, we would get, you know, she would change her clothes, but come on, we're going to Nana and Papa's house, and we'd go over there, we'd turn it on. They had a plasma big screen that you see in all the Funhouse restaurants, and we watched it. And I've watched every OJ documentary. We watched the newest one. We tweeted or we texted back and forth about that. There were things I didn't know. There were things I didn't, see for the first time. Super, super weird because then, I'm 7 years old. 3 years later, I'm like, oh my God, Dad, did you know that OJ's in Naked Gun?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, Norberg. That's
he
why.
He wanted to kill the queen.
Hey, as well as me, yours truly. Boy, what a beautiful day it is.
And that's what the whole thing was, is that, I always go back to this because you say that there are people that will never know that Andy Reid coached for Philadelphia.
Right.
And, that kind of played for me when I was a kid because I had no idea that OJ was an actor. All I know is that he was an alleged murderer and that he was running away. I had no idea that he was one of the best running backs of all time.
Ugh.
And, of course, being a sports nut at such a young age, I go back and start reading about OJ Simpson, what he did in Buffalo, what he did at USC, what he was as an athlete. He was then, like, after he was done being an athlete, he was Mr. Everything. Like, he was the original, like, Tony Romo, or I guess, like, the Ryan Seacrest of sports. Like,
yeah.
He was sideline. He was booth. He was award shows. He was, the guy.
He was
the
all-American guy, man.
He had the beautiful smile and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, it was like, maybe OJ is a POS.
Maybe, right?
Yeah. And, then you get older and you start realizing, other storylines and sidebar conversations to the whole OJ Simpson thing. But yeah, man, I remember watching the race very vividly. I remember watching that with my family in the living room. I mean, even my aunt and uncle drove in from North Kansas City to Blue Springs, Missouri to come to the house to all sit around. And like Bob said, I'm almost positive we ate pizza because my grandmother, who was one hell of a cook, was not getting off the couch.
Well, and that's the other thing, too. I was watching
and
yesterday.
That was a hell of a summer, too. That's baseball strike. That's Olympics. That's all that stuff, man.
Yep. I mean, you're right. 94 was the baseball strike. Yeah, absolutely. So there was a lot going on. But
there's a great 30 for 30 on ESPN.
Yeah, that summer of 94, whatever it was. Yeah, fantastic 30 for 30. But I remember, watching all of that stuff, obviously captivated. And for whatever reason, yesterday I caught the finale of Seinfeld, right? And a lot of that, I mean, Jackie Childs is based off of Johnny Cochran on O.J. Simpson. And one of the last scenes of the final Seinfeld is Jackie Childs is laying in bed with their real and their spectacular lady. And he answers the phone. He goes, they can reach a verdict already. And that's what it was like for O.J. This whole 2-year process was reached in 90 minutes. And they came to within a verdict. And obviously, O.J. was taken free. Now, there's a lot of backstories to this O.J. story that I do find very fascinating. Number one, the fact that we have Mike Garrett Garrett in town, who was the athletic director at UCLA, and I believe may have played with O.J. Simpson or was a little bit ahead of O.J. Simpson at USC back in the day. And obviously, you know, Mike Garrett, Heisman Trophy winner now. He was at Dayton Moore's, you know, event a couple of weeks ago. He was, you know, that's a Kansas City connection that we have there. But also, too, a lot of people don't realize that a good majority of the fact-finding mission actually took place here in Kansas City. And all of those people that you saw on TV, from F. Lee Bailey to Bob Kardashian to Johnny Cochran to, you know, who's the last guy that's still alive that you see pushing the, you know, the 1-800-LAWYERS thing commercial. Oh God, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Not Robert Kardashian. He's dead. There was another guy that's still out there, still doing some legal stuff and whatnot. All those guys, all those lawyers that defended O.J. Simpson, that dream team, they were all here in Kansas City. And the reason they were here in Kansas City, they stayed for a good period of time at the Westin, right? Uh-huh. And they were here because they were trying to talk to a certain running back that used to play for the Kansas City Chiefs that knew O.J. Simpson. You can kind of figure out who that was. Uh-huh. So a lot of that pre-trial stuff was taking place right here in Kansas City. Obviously, nobody knew all of that was going on. And that's how I met his agent at the time, Mike Gilbert, who you will see in the documentary, who actually owns the White Bronco, which I find to be really, really cool. It's on loan at a museum in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Mac, I'm sure you've been there and seen that OJ Bronco before in Gatlinburg when you were visiting Dollywood back in the days at college and playing hillbilly golf. But so Mike Gilbert still owns that Bronco, but a lot of that stuff took place right here in Kansas City. And we'll never see anything like that again. Again, there were no options back then to watch on TV, so everybody was paying attention to this thing. But we'll never see anything like that because O.J. Simpson was like the perfect American guy. He was the spokesperson for everything. He was in every single movie out there. He was calling games on TV, Heisman Trophy winner, beautiful guy, great smile, everything you could probably want. And then that night happened, and, you know, he murdered, allegedly, his wife and Ron Goldman, and the whole thing changed.
O.J., man, and he looked scared.
But nothing will ever top that moment on TV. And people always
was
ask. Bob Shapiro. That's who I was thinking of. And people say all the time, you know, if you could have a moment in life where you wish Twitter was around for, overwhelmingly, everybody says the O.J. Simpson chase. Not necessarily the trial, but the chase that O.J. Simpson went on that day. Could you imagine if Twitter was available during the O.J. Simpson chase?
Geez, be awesome.
In other book news, Prince Charles released an autobiography in which he states that he never loved Princess Di and that his father pressured him to marry her. The book is entitled, Of Course O.J. Did It. I mean, come on.
All right, Pete and Norm.
And then you have Norm MacDonald.
It was revealed today that O.J. Simpson told police that Nicole Brown Simpson used to beat him up. He also claimed that she and Ron Goldman killed him. Tomorrow, Judge Lancito will take O.J. and the jury on a tour of the now famous crime scene. For the jury, it will be their first look at the actual location. Of course, for O.J., it will be just a case of been there, done that.
Norm MacDonald hated O.J. Simpson and hated him even more because he was friends with like some executive at NBC. So Norm MacDonald would just take shots at O.J. Simpson to piss that guy off too, which I think is really good. I like that, but deservedly so. Man.
But what's crazy is that as insane of an event that was, it has phased out. Like there's two full generations that probably don't even have any sort of, they're like, oh yeah, I watched the documentary. That was crazy. Yeah. You're like, yeah. Sure was. I mean, you do it with everything that you've gone through in life, like yep. with O.J. and everything like that. Like, you know,
I mean, it goes back for our parents. It was like the Kennedy assassination was all real big, and they would talk about that all the time. And then for our generation, it was O.J. Then it was 9/11, and, you know, things have happened, you know, kind of since then. But I think you're right about that. I mean, that's you know, 30 years ago, 31 years ago now that we're talking about that O.J. chase. And you know, each year that goes by, it gets kind of further and further back, obviously. But it still doesn't, I mean, change. Like, you'll see the highlights today, I'm sure, all over the place, especially on social media, of that white Bronco driving all over town. And please do not pull me over today. I didn't do anything when you see me rolling through town. But it'll be all over the place. Everybody will be kind of talking about it on Twitter, throwing up the, I see O.J. and he looking very scared. I mean, the fact that that guy got through to, I guess it was NBC or ABC at the time, and was able to prank from the Howard Stern show on Peter Jennings like that, that's remarkable in and of itself. And Peter Jennings clearly wasn't paying attention. He just kind of let that guy go. And Al Michaels is like, all right, we've had enough here. We're not this guy. I see OJ, man, and he looking scared. And Peter Jennings was like, thank you very much.
Howard Stern, in two of the biggest days in American history, is known for his radio show. I don't know if you've ever done this, Mac, but some of the greatest radio you will ever listen to is the Howard Stern show during 9/11.
Heck yes. Oh, well, oh, during that specifically. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he has just one of the most iconic days in his career is that day. Because Howard Stern was always like farts and sex and fun of people. And then 9/11 happens like in his area. And he just describes it the entire. It's one of the greatest radio things I think I've ever heard in my life, but how he is and what he's talking about. And then, of course, that.
Wow.
And then there was a time when he fell from the ceiling with his ass out and put it right. Or no, that was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah.
Who became basically Howard Stern mixed with Weird Al Yankovic.
One of the guys on his show actually is a huge Chiefs fan, Richard Christie. He listens to us a lot. Richard Christie, if you're listening today. Chiefs fan from, down south, I think like Fort Scott. And, Howard's made fun of him for crying when the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. He's like, you just don't understand, man. It's 50 years away. And Howard's like, what? This is a sports game. And that's
don't
how.
Get it.
And so that was, that Howard Stern during that was unbelievable. The fact that he had his guy, not the fact that he had the guy call it, the fact that they let that guy get on the air and talk to Peter Jennings about such nonsense is just freaking unbelievable.
We have on the phone with us as well Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
How are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite the tensest.
Like you get to that point, somebody's got to say, we got to bail out of this thing.
Yeah.
We can't continue to allow this guy to be on the air. But they did.
What can you see?
Oh, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van, and I see OJ kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, look at here. He looked very upset. I don't know what he's going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
He is just sitting around, looking like he'd be very nervous.
Can you hear anything, Mr. Higgins?
It's just too much commotion. I'd be in the back of a news van, so I can't really hear that good, but I can see it all. And I see OJ. I see OJ, man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And Baba Booey to y'all.
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call.
Accomplished sportscaster. That's what you're known for. It's great.
On the come.
One more time.
On the come.
Mac, who you got?
Give me the Titans.
Oh, boy.
On the come.
Been hanging out with Buck Rising. Did he make it to the wedding on Saturday?
Buck Rising would never say the Titans are on the come. He is the king of pessimistic. I would say the Titans because a few reasons. One, I looked at the roster. I was just kind of looking at different rosters, starting getting the ball rolling, looking at these other teams who they've gotten. They're talented. If the O-line plays better like they should with one of the best O-line coaches in the league, I think that's their biggest problem.
Binkley's their O-line coach?
Has been their biggest problem for quite some time. Behind Calvin Ridley, they've got Restrepo. They've got another guy that Tyler Lockett. So if Restrepo works out, I think he will out of Miami, you've got Tajay Sharp. You've got Tony Pollard. The defense is really good with Jeff Simmons and Devondre Sweat. Legarius Sneed, if he can be healthy. Ray McCloud. They've got talent. They've got talent. And Brian Callahan was a first-year head coach that came in to have a quarterback sling and mayonnaise. Now they've got a real guy behind there with some talent. I think the Titans, in a really bad division, they're on the come.
And they have no pressure on their quarterback because there's no coverage on their quarterback.
No coverage at all.
I'll go with Jacob Wilson, the shortstop who will start the All-Star game as a rookie for the Oakland Athletics, who was just in town for many reasons. One, baseball card. He had a first Bowman auto that somebody sold for $1,400 back in November of 2024. That card then sold again on on June 8th, 2025, so last week, for $18,100. His batting average is insane. We said it earlier. Judge is now hitting 377.
Well, this guy was 368 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Has he passed Judge?
I don't know if he's passed him yet, but I will say they did play last night. Nick Kurtz hit the walk-off home run for the Sacramento A's last night. But Jacob Wilson is an absolute stud, bona fide G, or I guess he's a certified G and a bona fide stud, and Jacob Wilson is now hitting 362 as a rookie in the MLB world of baseball.
Wow. So he could lead the league in batting average.
He may. Yeah, he may.
Has that ever happened?
A rookie, I think it probably has.
I bet it was Ichiro.
Did they consider him a rookie?
I believe so.
Okay.
Because it was his first year in Major League Baseball. I think Matt Sui was a rookie. Okay. Otani was a rookie.
Yeah.
I think.
I didn't know if that, like, because we're combining a lot of stats these days, mm-hmm. you know, as they should, right? I mean, as they should. Japan is a very good professional baseball league.
Suzuki, he is one of the three to do it.
Who's the others?
Altuve?
No, this is, 1964,
okay.
Tony Oliva, and then 1870.
Tony Oliva. Yeah.
And then it was
1870?
1876. Ross Barnes.
I never heard that name ever. No, honestly, like, I've never heard that name in my life.
I mean, 1870.
No, but I mean, I would have heard, you hear names all
yeah,
the time.
True. 429 you know. Average as a rookie.
And it says here as well from MLB on June 8th. Only three players in the last 60 years have logged 200-plus hits in their rookie season. Will Jacob Wilson be the first rookie since Ichiro in 2001?
Who are the other rookies? Do they have that?
No.
I hate when they give you that kind of stuff, and then they don't tell you who they are. But there are only three other rookies.
Yes.
Who
is it?
But I will say this, if you want to know, as of 16 hours ago, the leading shortstop for the American League is Jacob Wilson with 562,000 votes. Number two, any guess?
Bobby.
Bobby Witt Jr. with 519,000.
Wow,
so go
really
out
close.
There and vote. Ruin yeah. the rookie guy's year. I'm Please. Kidding. So, yeah, Bobby Witt Jr. will probably most likely definitely be an all-star behind Jacob Wilson, the rookie out of Sacramento.
Just so you know, Aaron Judge has already got 100 hits on the season.
Yeah.
In 71 games, he already has 100 hits.
And 25 of them are home runs.
26 homers, 60 driven in. Like, that's a season. That is a good yes. year for somebody. Yeah, my on the come is Gage Wood. I think that guy, man, I think he captured something yesterday and has got everybody in sports talking about him. Like, Mahomes was tweeting about the guy yesterday, right? Like, you know you've Seriously. Gotten to rarefied air when Patrick Mahomes is taking the time to recognize game got game. And that guy yesterday, no-hitter in the College World Series, like 18 strikeouts, and just absolutely dominated. Got people to watch the College World Series yesterday that probably weren't going to watch the College World Series. I raised my hand on that one. There was a reason to go to the TV yesterday. He gave it to you, and that guy was awesome. So I think he's on the come right now. He's got an opportunity now to go out there, pitch another great one, and then all of a sudden people are talking about him being, I don't know, top 15, top 20 type pick in the draft, probably.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.